Welcome to Idle Chatter, brought to you by the Machinery Digest, where steel and soil meet. A weekly podcast by a New Jersey farmer to all farmers and ranchers across this great nation. And yes, there are farms in New Jersey. Regardless of the crop you grow or the livestock you raise, we all have one thing in common. Agriculture runs on passion, sweat, tears, and machinery, and that is why the Machinery Digest exists, a no-nonsense, grease-under-your-fingernails educational website. It was created to provide a transfer of knowledge so that you can maintain, service, and most importantly, understand today's complex farm equipment. My name is Ray Bohax, and I farm too. It is time now to get under the sheet metal. Hello and welcome to this New Year's Day, New Year 2020 episode of the Idle Chatter podcast. Last year was the first time I did this because the show, as I always repeat, just started a few months earlier. And I felt that I wanted to offer a New Year's prayer and New Year's thought to all of my listeners around the world. And at the time, we did not have so many listeners, but we've been blessed in 2019 for the show to really grow exponentially and to have people in all aspects of agriculture listen in, I think, 35 or 36 countries. I really don't, it really doesn't make any difference to me. I just want to be able to use this to help those who are growing the food, fiber, and fuel of the world, to feed the world and help them in any way that I possibly can, and that is in regard to machinery. So I didn't introduce myself, but the intro did, and I am Ray Bohax, the hot rod farmer, and I farm in New Jersey for those who do not know, and we have a sweet corn operation, small operation. We do fresh market sweet corn, but that's not the point. I'm not here to tell you about myself. What I'm here to do is hopefully in this show is to sincerely give you a different outlook, or I don't even say an outlook. It's a very candid show. I mean, I'm going to stumble over my words as I always do and bring my thoughts to you like us talking over the tailgate of a pickup truck. It's not anything that's going to be perfectly executed, but I want you to know that my sincerest desire is for everyone in agriculture to be successful. And I know that in 2019, every place in the world has been just a multitude of different challenges, and specifically here in the United States. I know that my listeners out in Australia and New Zealand have been facing a terrible drought, and I know a lot of the people up in Canada, Western Canada, have had a bad drought in this year, and the eastern parts of the United States have been underwater, and there was terrific flooding in the Midwest, or I should say the more the Great Plains, Nebraska, Iowa, down that neck of the woods, and everything that could possibly happen seemed to happen. But what I want to do is I want us to put that aside, not because the calendar is turning to 2020, because that's only a number. It doesn't make any difference, right? 2020, 2019, 2030. I mean, as far as we are concerned as a society, we assign something to numbers, but it's, life is not about numbers. Life is about passion, heart, courage, and moving on regardless of the circumstances. And that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to give you a passion for 2020, not because it's 2020 and not because 2019 is behind us, but I want to give you a ideology that I hope that you will embrace and apply in your operation. But to do that, I need to turn the clock back. I need to turn the clock back to, I believe it was 1970. So, hey, you could figure out how old I am, even though I don't want to tell you. But anyway, in the Apollo 13 mission. And if I remember, they made a movie about that years later, but I'm not talking about the movie, I'm talking about the actual mission. And I remember being in elementary school, and everybody was cognizant. There was obviously no internet, no cell phones, no anything like that, no cable TV. We had rabbit ears on our television set three quarters at a time. The picture didn't come in clearly, yet my father would be moving it all around and cursing. Cursing, and the picture would be rolling. But we were happy as a lark to have something, and it was black and white, and it was amazing how big the physical TVs were and how small the screen was. But it was fantastic. We thought it was the most fantastic thing in the world. So anyway, so none of this existed for the younger listeners to this podcast. None of this existed. And the Apollo 13 had some sort of mishap. I believe that there was an explosion or something. Don't hold me to that. I may not. That's not the crux of the story. And the astronauts were in definite peril. There was an excellent possibility that they would not return home. And I think they had to use the module that they would use that would be employed to go from the spacecraft to the moon and use that as a spaceship to come back to Earth. Because of the mishap, I believe there was an explosion or a fire or something. But anyway, the important thing that I want to share with you is that I vividly remember, and it was something that I remember just as clearly today in 2020 as I did in 1970, which is 50 years ago, which is frightening. But anyway, I was in elementary school, and the principal came on the loudspeaker and said that what was happening at that particular point, the NASA was going to try to do something or evoke something or have the astronauts evoke something. I was a little kid. I don't know anything about this. But to try to get the spaceship to come back to Earth. And I don't remember whether the exact details, but the whole country came to a standstill, and very possibly the whole world came to a standstill during that time. And so what the principal did is that he instructed all of the teachers to bring their classes to the gymnasium. And it was a very solemn moment that we were told to be solemn, that this was not jerking around. My wife is a kindergarten teacher, and I see how the kids jerk around today, or she tells me about it. But anyway, so we were very solemnly brought down to the auditorium, and we were instructed in class groups to sit on the gymnasium floor. And we sat there, and we were supposed to sit Indian style with our legs crossed. And the principal came and over the loudspeaker and told us what was going on. And I guess he had a little radio in his office, and he was going to he was going to pipe it through the PA system, they had like a microphone back then, like a CB microphone, and he would key the mic and put it by the radio so that we could hear what was going on with the spaceship, and hopefully, God willing. And then it was a paralyzing moment. I mean, we didn't know, it was the early space program. We didn't know no one knew whether they were going to be able to do this or get the guys home, and they would be the first men lost in space. And that's where the saying came out, supposedly, that failure is not an option. And that's really the crux of what I'm going to get to today in this podcast, that failure is not an option on the farm in 2020 or any year is not an option. So, but before that, he piped the radio program, the broadcast, into the loudspeaker, he instructed us all to say a prayer for the astronauts. And that we would be able, that NASA would be, have the guidance of our Lord to bring those astronauts home. And even to this day, I don't know if you could hear my voice, it chokes me up. But anyway, when I remember, so I believe that he led us in prayer over the loudspeaker system, which is something that you would never, ever have today, sadly. And that's why this country is in a state of turmoil that it is in. But he led us in prayer, and then he asked us to say a silent prayer. And I remember explicitly as a little boy sitting on that floor and praying, listening to the principal praying, and then praying a little boy's prayer, and then saying to myself, will God be able to hear prayers for someone that is in outer space? Because in my mind, I thought God would only be able to do something here on Earth, that I didn't realize, you know, being in whatever second grade or third grade or whatever it was, that God had control over everything that was his creation, and I explicitly remember. And then we stopped praying and we were listening all with bated breath, and the news came over the radio and thus over the loudspeaker that the astronauts were safe. I don't remember whether they landed or came into the ocean or they were able to turn the spacecraft around. But I just remember, so many of the children, the teachers were crying. Everybody was crying. I got tears coming from my eyes right now, so I'm not embarrassed to say. But it was such a pivotal moment in my life, because I said that God is in space, that he heard our prayers and he turned, and he was able to save those astronauts. And as I said, the term or the phrase failure is not an option was something that was used at that particular point, that failure was not an option. We had to bring these guys home. We couldn't have this. We were not going to have the first men lost in space to be on an American spaceship. And we used all our resources and God-given talents and knowledge of those people at NASA to bring them home. And by God's grace, they did come home. But so how am I going to connect this to my prayer for you, the farmers of America and around the world? How am I going to connect this to you that failure is not an option? Now, what I do want to share with you is that I realize that in everything, not everything survives. I mean, we used to say in the car business that babies die. So there are people who are going to go out of business. There's people who are going to go into business. There's people who go out of business in the most prosperous of times. And I don't care whether it's a farm business, restaurant, a lawyer, anything, a car company, you name it, any gamut of any businesses. There's those who go out of business in the best of times, and there's those who go in and start a business in the worst of times. And so that is the natural cycle of life. But there is a common denominator that I have seen in the business world, and specifically in the business, in any business community that relies on equipment. And I personally, and they may exist, but they're far and few between, I personally have never seen any business that was continually successful and was able to thrive regardless of the market conditions, that neglected the core machinery of their business. So I don't care if you're a plumber, right? If you neglect your plumbing van, your tools, your saws, your pipe wrenches, it's only a matter of time before that guy goes out of business. If you're a trucker, if you're a truck in a trucking company, and you neglect your trucks, they keep breaking down. You can't get to where you're going. If you're just a person and you have a job, and you neglect your vehicle that takes you to work, and you're always out and missing work and coming in late because you're broken down, that I've never seen anyone be continually successful that way. And that is what I want to talk to you about today, is that the need to recognize on your farm or ranch operation, or if you're a vineyard, or if you're a vegetable grower, whatever you may be, because we have I'm talking to an audience that's as varied as could be in agriculture. And if you neglect your equipment and or make wrong decisions about your equipment as far as the way it's maintained, the way it's serviced, and wrong diagnostic decisions. We're all going to make wrong decisions at some time. That's what life is about. I've made more wrong decisions in my life than I made proper decisions. But the fact of the matter is that if we try to learn and apply and more importantly, bring that into our thought process. And from my vantage point, and you could beg to differ with me, the agricultural community is too focused on yield and too focused on commodity prices. Now, I could be turning somebody off right now. I'm not saying that those are not important. I always say there's three things that are needed for success, for the bread to rise in the oven, right? There's three things for success on a farm, and that is you need to have yield, you need to have marketing, good marketing, sell it at a good price, and you need to have your machinery. What's going to happen is that your machinery will be able to help you produce the yield to market it at a good price, but the machinery, if it is broken or is costing you an excessive amount of money or having you be delayed in the field, delayed in planting, delayed in spraying, delayed in harvesting, then you are cutting off at the legs your profit potential and then thus your marketing potential, because if you have nothing to sell or very little to sell, then your marketing efforts are going to be mediocre at best, because if you have very little grain to sell, if you're a grain guy, a row crop guy, then even if the price goes up, you're still underwater because you didn't have enough yield. And the thing is that time and time again, and that is what prompted me, and this is not about me telling you why I did my show and why I did this podcast or why I did this website or why I'm doing my seminars or why I do it. It has nothing to do with me. But what I want to do is I want to convince you that you need to hold your machinery and every aspect of them, every machine, whether it's your car or whether it's your combine and anything in between, you need to scrutinize it and be as passionate about its maintenance, its care, and its efficiency and its reliability as you are with the other aspects of your farm. And if not, then you will probably go out of business. And I'm not going to candy coat it, but you will probably go out of business. And the only thing that high crop prices and high yields do is they mask a lot of sins as far as the machinery is concerned. Because if you're making a lot of money and you blow something up, then you're taking those funds and you have the funds available to buy it, to buy a new one, to buy a new engine, to buy a new truck, to buy a new whatever, irrigation pump, whatever it may be, it's irrelevant. But over the past year of doing this show, and as much as my audience has grown, I still see that there is more than the majority, almost the entire agricultural community is not, I don't want to use the word passion because everybody's not going to be passionate about machinery like I do. And I know what I'm, and I realize that passion, everybody's passion is different. But the thing is that if that's your core business, if you're a taxi cab driver, you could love baseball, but if you chose to go into the taxi business, then you damn better well take good care of that taxi so it can make you money. It's no different than soil fertility, soil health, compaction, everything about soil, right? You better take care of that soil if you want to have a crop, if you want to be a farmer. But the thing about agriculture is that you need to take care of your soil, you need to take care of your crop, you need to take care of your livestock, all right? And you need to give machinery the same amount of thought. And that is what I do not see happening. And regardless of how wonderful the crop prices are, regardless of how wonderful your yields are, that you're going to have brackets in one side of your balance sheet, in your ledger book, because you're not getting it on the machinery side. So what I'm going to ask you to do this year is to take a completely different approach. And if you are very engaged and involved with the machinery aspect of your business, then I'm going to ask you to step it up a couple of notches, because there's always a way for you to step it up. We're never, never, ever running at 100%, even though we might think we have. And, you know, and I try to do that, you know, in every aspect of my life. I try to keep moving the bar higher. I'm trying to do that with my podcast by adding segments. I'm trying to do it with my farm. I'm trying to do that with my writing career. I'm trying to bring efficiencies and efficiencies, reliabilities, and profitability to everything. And if you could take, and if you look at it, and that's why you have to look at everything on the farm that happens in the machinery side of it, because I'm not an agronomist, I'm not a marketing guy, but so I can't help you there whatsoever. I'm not going to even make any analogies to that, because I have no knowledge on it. But if you take and you look at your machinery, and if you could avoid, and everything in life is not avoidable, I understand that, but if you could avoid an unnecessary repair, even if it's only a repair that costs a little bit of money but delays you in your field work, if you could avoid an unnecessary repair, an unnecessary failure, or take the life of that machine and be able to extend it out 1, 2, 3 years reliably, that is going to add dramatically to your bottom line. But what you have to look at, and that every time that you have a repair and a failure, you have to analyze and say to yourself, was this avoidable? If I would have changed the oil more often, if I would have done a fluid analysis, would I have been able to predict that this pump is going to go bad and not go bad in the middle of planting season? All right, if you do all of that, then what I want you to compare and look at what that failure cost you, not in dollars, but look at it as far as crop is concerned. And so even if you take, I mean, I'm going to use corn as an example because I'm familiar with it. So if you have an avoidable, if you do something, whatever it may be, so let's say that you, before you buy a piece of equipment, you do a coolant analysis on a piece of used equipment. You're buying a used tractor at auction. So you go to the auction, a week ahead of time. You ask if you could pull it. You look the machine over, if you could pull a coolant sample. You spend $25, $30, and you send it to the lab and you get it analyzed. And why I'm saying a coolant sample, because a coolant sample, a lot of that is a lot like pancreatic cancer. Cylinder line of cavitation erosion, it's going to be eating away at that cylinder like pancreatic cancer. Once pancreatic cancer reveals itself, it's too late. The patient is a death sentence. Well, that cylinder line of cavitation erosion, if that cylinder line is being eaten up because that previous owner was not good about changing the coolant or putting additives in the coolant, then until that cylinder liner leaks, that thing is going to run beautifully. So now if you do a fluid analysis and you go and you find out that there's a lot of elemental metals, using that as an example, all right, you say, man, I'm staying away from this tractor. And if you don't stay away from whoever's buying it, in probably in a very short order, whether it's 100 hours from now or 500 hours, it's going to kick a rod through the block and blow that engine up because it's going to get hydro-locked with once that coolant breaks through that cylinder liner and goes into the cylinder, can't be compressed. So in essence, if you did that, right, and you avoided having to put a $20,000 motor engine into a tractor that you just bought, so now you went out on a limb to buy a used piece of equipment, a fairly new piece of pre-owned equipment, you're out on a limb with that, and now you take it home in 100 hours, you didn't do your due diligence, and then you take it home, you got to put a $20,000 motor in it. Well, how many bushels of corn or how many bushels of wheat did you just give away because you didn't do your due diligence? So we could all apply things of that nature. And the other thing is that if you look at it that way, say, man, this just cost me 10 bushels of corn. What we do is the industry, the community looks at it is that, hey, you know, I put a fungicide, I got two bushels per acre. I did this, I got 3 bushels per acre. I did this, I got nothing per acre. Anything that you do, and I'm trying to drill this into you on my New Year's Day message to you, anything that you could do to improve your machinery is not going to make you a nickel. But what it's going to do, it's going to have you not spend money. And I always say, it's the old saying, right? Not me, but a dollar saved is just as good as a dollar earned. But with the time-sensitive aspect of agriculture, even if it's a $5 part that sidelines you, if it sidelines you and you miss that opportunity in the field and it rains for the next 2 weeks, like we had this year, then that extrapolated out into thousands and thousands and possibly hundreds of thousands of dollars. So what I am going to ask you to do is to take a new approach as far as learning about your equipment. And I'm not saying about learning how to drive it or operate it. Learning about every aspect of the machinery that you have. You take it, look at your maintenance program. Can your maintenance program be improved? And just basically take the whole farm shop, and I like to call it the farm shop because everything is in there. So look at the farm shop and say, what can we do to make this? And your goals are, because failure is not an option. And if you're not spending money unnecessarily on repairs or downtime, then you could weather you could weather poor market conditions, crop prices, that is crop prices, you know, weather events, whatever. You are much better insulated from that than getting a hit, a death by a thousand stings, right? One bumblebee that you have I forget that shock is that the people have, it closes their throat. But the thing is, unless you have that, you get stung by one bumblebee, nothing's going to happen to you, one yellow jacket. You get stung by 100,000, you're dead. And so many times I've seen the same thing in business, and I don't care whether it's a restaurant or whether it's a farm or anything in between, is that if you have a restaurant and you're not taking care of your stove, you're not taking care of your oven, you're not taking care of your dispensing machines, and I come in here, I want a cup of coffee, and the coffee pot is always busted, or I want a roast beef sandwich, and you say the oven is busted, where are you going with that, buddy? And then you're writing it off, it's bad luck. Most things in life, as far as equipment are concerned, are not bad luck. I'm not going to say that everything is that way, but most things in life, if you turn the clock back and look where you went astray, you will find that you most likely could have done something differently to go and make not allow that to happen and not have it affect your bottom line. So my suggestion to you, and my sincere prayer, is that as we go into 2020, that you will do everything that you can to learn about your equipment. And this is not I'm not promoting my show, my website, or what have you. But sadly, and I truly mean this sadly, is that I have the only website and podcast like that in the world. And if you want to believe me, go look. There's a million places you could go to learn about agronomy. There's a million places you could go to learn about marketing, animal husbandry. There's radio shows, there's podcasts, there's TV shows, there's magazines. I write for Successful Farming magazine. They only give me at most a page to write something about machinery. They'll spend five pages on something, a big five-page spread with a big picture on it about something else. But there is, sadly, I wish that I could tell you otherwise, because I would say to you, just like I do with agronomy or with any other aspect of your business, get your information from multiple sources, because you're going to get a little bit here, a little bit from there. But the fact of the matter is that my podcast and my website currently is the only place in the world that you could go to start to get an education about different aspects of the machinery in that you are working with every day, that is the core of your business. Go on my website and take the test. There's a test approximately every month, five question multiple choice test. It is meant to teach you. It's not meant to say what you got wrong. It's meant to teach you. It's a learning experience. Read the articles. All right, read the articles. I hopefully, God willing, I'll be getting some seminars set up that are going to be free to the end users. Attend the seminars. You could do a lot. 99% of this you could do at home on your computer. But you need to go on your computer, not your cell phone. The website is designed to be cell phone friendly, but you're going to lose. You're not going to sit there and read a 500,000 word article on a cell phone. Forget about it. You're not going to do it. Human nature, what it is. So anyway, as I come to a close here, hopefully I was effective. But my sincere prayer for you is to look at the forgotten aspect of your business. I'm not saying don't be concerned. I don't want you to be less concerned is the best way for me to say it. Less concerned about yield, less concerned about agronomy, animal husbandry, marketing. I do not want you to be less concerned about that. But I want you to be just as concerned with your machinery and every aspect of your machinery. And I will be here to help you. By God's grace, I will be here to help you. You could email me at hotrodfarmer@farmmachinerydigest.com. I will always offer my best suggestions to you. I don't have all the answers, but I will always give you my best advice as I would give to myself. But please recognize that we're starting in 2020. We're going to have a new planting season. We're going to have a new growing season. We have a new harvest season. And I want you to be successful. I want your agricultural operation to soar And failure is not an option as far as I am concerned. It is not an option in your farm. And if you know, some things are totally out of our control, but taking care of machinery is not out of our control. And, you know, and maybe it means, I don't candy coat stuff, maybe it means you have to jerk around less on social media or some other garbage to learn about your machinery and to take care of it and to do it. But when that machinery goes bad, it bites, and it bites hard. And it's, and like I said, I've never seen a business that neglected the core machinery of their existence and be successful. So as I close, and took, I thank you so much for listening, and I ask you to please take that new mindset, apply it to your farm shop. Your farm shop could be a real asset. Your farm shop, meaning the machinery in your farm shop and what you do there. And the thing is that that could be probably one of the largest, I shouldn't say an asset, one of the largest cash drains and sink your business faster than anything. But you have to recognize that. And if you don't recognize that, you'll ignore it. And then you'll blame the market conditions. You'll blame the weather. You'll blame everything under the sun. And we don't have any control over that, but we have a control over what we do with our machinery and the time we spend to learn about our machinery and make proper decisions. So as I close, I wish you all a blessed, blessed, may God's blessings be upon your farm and ranch or any type of agriculture operation in the United States or any place around the world. And I ask you to please, please put in your mind that failure is not an option, and you need to honor and respect your equipment and learn about it as much as you did or do about any other aspect of your business. So listen, you have a blessed, blessed 2020. I want to hit the ground running, and hopefully you're going to hit the ground running. And this is the Hot Rod Farmer wishing you all the best in the world as we move forward into a new year with excitement and joy. Take care, and thanks for listening.